Welcome back to TTLG, where we take you through the looking glass. I'm Ryan, joined with Gorgie. We got a special guest for you guys today. I'm sure you guys are well aware who that is, Dan Koo. We were able to get him in here. I know he's a very busy guy, so we really thank him for coming on the show today. How you doing today, Dan Koo?
Yeah, thank you for the invitation. I'm glad to be here. That sounds like I'm not so busy, but last weeks I think have been out of order because I was in Barcelona with the Avalanche conference and with the Terra people, which was great. This weekend I had planned to go home. I couldn't say no to my mom, right, to then not go. So it was a lot of traveling between Europe, Germany, Switzerland, Austria, Spain. But I'm doing good. And thanks for the invitation.
That's awesome. It's hard to beat mom's home cooking, isn't it?
It is 100%. And if she's making cake, you cannot say no, right? That's what it is.
That's right. So yeah, thanks for tuning in today, guys. We're gonna go ahead and get this kicked off. Gorgie, I know you had a bunch of questions you wanted to ask Dan Koo, so why don't you get us kicked off, man?
Yeah, Dan Koo, great pleasure to have you on the channel here, and we're just gonna chat on a variety of topics. Some of it will just be, you know, just retrospective, but a lot of it will also touch on current events. So please, guys, watch the whole through to the end. Danko, we all are here passionate about Terra, and we just wanted to know how your Terra journey started, when you first heard about it, when did you buy your first Luna? Did you buy it for like a 1 cent? As much as you can share, we'd love to hear about your journey and how, you know, when did you recognize Terra had this potential?
Yeah, no, I think my first Luna, I don't even know exactly when, but it should be around March, April, 2021. So when it was high, then I write it down. I was one of the guys who bought UST when it was at a discount, right? So maybe I was responsible for getting it back to pack. I don't think so, but at least I took the benefit back then because maybe you can say I was back then too naive and not saying that this could hit the fan, but I just went there into more and more DeFi and seeing what is happening. And I discovered the whole Terra ecosystem because I bought my first Bitcoin in 2017. Okay. Back then, right, a friend of mine said, take a look at this one, Bitcoin, I have some Dodge here, you should go in there. And I said, yeah, it's going up, seems like a good idea. So, and back then it was not that easy to buy Bitcoin, right? It's kind of, even in Germany here, everything was super iffy and it was half of a scam always all the time. So I bought them, had them 3 weeks, sold them, right? It's like, this is not for me. Didn't understand it back then. So it was not much. It was like 300, 500 bucks. Yeah, so euro, whatever it was. So not too much. I mean, still, it was, I think, around $3,000 back then. So it would have been still a good investment, but yeah, I didn't understand it. And then I left it, right? Because I didn't have any interest to truly understand it. And then in 2020, my brother started to invest because a friend of him who is in that space, not really into crypto, but more finance and investing, he said, dude, just buy some Bitcoin, buy some ETH, buy some ADA that's very big in Germany. I don't know why, but Cardano is super big here. And so he did, and he was super successful. And then Christmas around, he said, hey, dude, just take a look, right? Number go up, great. And I said, I don't know. And he said, just look at it. I think that you will have a ton of fun. So I started to dig deeper, right? I'm a big podcast and YouTube fan. So I found Lex Friedman, who was talking also to crypto guys more and more, who is a great podcast. Then I found Pompliano, who talked to him, Peter McCormack, all those guys. And I tried to understand first what Bitcoin is. And then I understood it, right? I'm still a big Bitcoin fan. I'm such a huge fan that Terra now also went into this Bitcoin game because yeah, it's just a beautiful hard asset and what you can achieve with this, right? So I said, like, how did I not see that earlier, right? So I'm an idiot, right, for not understanding it earlier after so many years of Bitcoin. But pretty quickly, it went into the, how can we use this on a daily basis? It's impossible, right? I cannot go to somebody and say, buy Bitcoin, it's your money. Tomorrow you go to the grocery store, everything is double as expensive or half, right, as expensive. That makes no sense. So I was thinking of how the heck can we make DeFi tangible for the mainstream? And then I found the Terra ecosystem, right? And kind of an ecosystem which enables a volatile asset on the one side, which can be a store of value. But then on the other side, it's connected to a stable asset that it can track. Because now my mother can go to the store and use, hopefully in the future, the stablecoin euro to pay for it, while she can use the magic of DeFi to create hopefully yield that she can take benefit of. And if she wants to hold Luna, let's go. But back then I was looking like, how can Luna and Bitcoin and stablecoins be connected, right? So that's how I found the Terra ecosystem. And now it's beautiful that now Bitcoin is part of this ecosystem because it's exactly what I wanted, right? So the store of value helping to solve this Triffin dilemma, because right now the dollar is the leading currency of the world. That makes no sense because the Fed has the interest of the US. So, I mean, I'm European, right? For me, it's maybe more natural than for you guys that kind of, I don't want to pay in dollars or hold my value in dollar if not needed. So yeah, and that's how I found it. And then the crash happened, right? So immediately when I bought it, crashed. Great. So, I mean, that was when I really went into DeFi more and more. So I basically joined really in the high phase of the bull market, right? And then basically I wrote everything down to 50% and less of my value that I had. But I said, I'm okay. I'm not here to see number go up short term. I think this is next level technology. I was one of those guys that always said on Reddit, why the heck do you ask the question of when price in 3 weeks? Or what is the price and who cares, right? What? Yeah. And it seems that it was in hindsight, the right question to ask why somebody cares. And yeah, I used Anchor was my second DeFi protocol I ever used, right? So PancakeSwap was the first one, right? BNB, cheap, right? You don't know what to do, right? It's like Binance Smart Chain. I used Binance to on-ramp, right? You just do your first steps. And then I found Anchor Protocol. I found The Defiant, a great YouTube channel. Shout out to them. Yeah. With awesome. Robin doing those videos. And he showed how Anchor Protocol, you can do 20%. And I said, I download that Terra Station. I tried out. And Terra Station was like, this is ugly in terms of why do I need to download a separate app, right? And then everything is, I need to send there on a different chain. What is this? And now I'm here, right? So this was my journey in terms of I started when everything crashed. And then I started to use Anchor and Mira. And I hope that answered the question.
Yeah, great.
Yeah. So what is your, so what are you thinking as far as like your strategy right now, like with Luna? Are you full lunatic or are you still kind of in other blockchains?
I'm a full multi-chain fan, right? Okay. I think a lot of people always also say you're an absolute Luna maxi. Even back then, Taiki Maeda, right? Shout out to him for also supporting me. After three videos, he said, you're a Luna maxi. Don't do only Terra content. And I said, dude, I just have three videos on my YouTube channel. I was like, I had no chance. It was just, I wanted to talk about this topic. And while I'm still focused on Terra because it's my hometown, I just know so many founders now. And I'm also interested, right? Because I'm invested and I just know the people now and I want to talk about it. I also do content on other stuff and I'm myself. I mean, I hold L1 holdings and that's what I really see as my long-term holdings, right? So it's, if I take a look at my portfolio, of course, no surprise, Luna is the biggest one, but then I have Bitcoin, Rune, I have still ETH there because I see benefits of the security that you have there. I hold Avalanche, I hold Phantom, I hold Cosmos, Osmosis, so I'm a full multi-chain degen.
Yeah,
I don't know. How's it about you guys? Are you full on Luna or is it multi-degen lifestyle?
Gorgi, you go first, man.
Well, I started 2015-16. I saw a video of how to buy Bitcoin back then, I think in 2015, and it looked really shady. It was like $1,100. So I didn't do it, but then I started trading it 2016-17. But really the big one was 2018-19. I joined a startup which had done an ICO in 2017 and gotten a lot of Ethereum and Bitcoin. I was getting paid in Ethereum.
Nice.
I still saw it as a liability and sold all my Ethereum at like $80, you know, like immediately as I was getting paid, and it was dropping too. But in 2019-20, I started buying Bitcoin just under 10,000. And as it went up, and for most of 2020, I was just in Bitcoin. Yeah. And then discovered Mirror. In fact, I was just looking at that. I stayed away from Ethereum because of PTSD from the whole project. And there's a whole conversation there of how it went. But from Bitcoin, and I was borrowing against my Bitcoin. So that was the first intro to, like, you know, what is DeFi going to give us with smart contracts? And I was fascinated to borrow against my Bitcoin, buy more Bitcoin, of course, and then manage that. But I was borrowing with BlockFi and Ledin, LEDNIO.io. It's a Canadian company. Great companies. But as soon as I discovered Mirror and then Anchor, gradually converted. And I actually transferred all my loans So it made me get out of Bitcoin, get into Ethereum, and carry it over and use ETH as collateral on Anchor. And that's how I transferred all of my borrow from outside of Terra to inside of Terra. So now I still buy Bitcoin. Like yourself, I'm not a one chain person. I'm not a Bitcoin maxi, but I do recognize the different roles I hold: Ethereum, Luna, and Bitcoin right now, and USD. Ryan.
So yeah, mine's a little. I'm a little different perspective. I literally just got in May 2021. I've just been in equities for so long. And finally, I told myself, hey, there's too much risk not being in crypto than there is being out of it. So I was like, all right, cool. I'm going to buy some stuff. Mirror was listed on Coinbase. I was like, oh, this is pretty cool. Synthetic assets, bought some of that. Finally made it over to Terra ecosystem with it natively, and then pretty much been here ever since. So really, Luna is the only thing I got, and just kind of been riding this gravy train. So yeah, it's been pretty good.
If you started in May, you picked up basically what everybody else left over after the crash, and you said, great, let's go.
So it's been great. But so what are you thinking about the markets right now? Obviously, we're kind of like in a down day. I mean, I know you're kind of just long-term view guy. But like, what would you say to some people that are just getting started in Luna specifically, like, and they're looking at maybe buying some today?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you said it right. I'm not a big trader myself, right? That's why basically I probably stayed away for so long time from crypto, but this kind of whole yield farming changed the game. I think it's a new kind of people that are arriving on the market itself. They have an own name, right? We have traders, now we have farmers, which is their own breed. And volatility is part of the game. I literally, so I can share with you, basically my brother is the way how I see how we evolved also in terms of, and myself, right? So when he introduced me to this, and then in May, he didn't sleep. I also, of course, check my phone all the time. My money just got to shit. It's like, it disappeared out of nowhere. And my brother called me 4 a.m. It's like, well, should I sell? It's like, he also told me that he couldn't sleep and this. And then he saw that I worked myself into this, right? And I basically, price is a meme in terms of, because last week I was invited to Toros Crypto. Those are traders, super nice guys. And they invited me to learn about the Terra ecosystem. They're trading a ton of Luna. They have no clue what's happening here. Right? It's like those people, they probably move a lot of money and they are very nice people, but probably it's not their job. They also don't need to, but they trade the asset because it looks from a pattern perspective interesting, right? And it's like, I cannot give away my Luna, right? It's like, I cannot give away the future of hopefully a financial system if I believe on that. So that's why if price go down, okay, I know that basically everybody who is trading it is probably trading against the pattern that he sees right now to go short and long. He's not caring about taking the benefit out of this. So I say, if it goes down, it goes down. I am fine to be called naive or romantic. I think that's also a very precise description of this. I'm less in here to basically now say in the future, hopefully I'm now a multi-billionaire like Do Kwon and I made it. I'm living here in my small flat. I want to stay in my small flat. I'm fine. And I think it's great. So because I can tell you, of course, family and friends, they now got like, oh, you are now into crypto, right? So you're rich now, right? So I said, can I invest myself? And I said, look, let's talk about how cool this is, what Bitcoin is, what it means, property on the internet and this stuff. And yeah, price is a meme because people get all the time like up and down. It's like, why do you feel bad now because the price is down? So then you really just invest because hopefully you think your short-term gain is there.
Right.
But as I said, I know that there I'm a very hardcore, probably romantic, like, let's go long, it's okay.
Oh, man. Right.
Well, yeah. I really appreciate that. And I just wanted to say, I love the humility and the sense of community that you hear. Of course, Twitter can be a little charged, let's all be honest, and we'll take a look at some of this stuff. But just as people, this appreciation and approach to being part of something amazing, I really appreciate that. And also having this long-term view. So working with the sense of, oh, well, maybe we're gonna have the same bull cycle and we're gonna just peak and everything else will crash, just put so much pressure last year on like, okay, whatever you're going to, and you need to exit. And I never was comfortable with this. It gave me a lot of sleepless nights, of course. Now, because that didn't happen, and because we got so much deeper into the fundamentals, and because we're seeing Do and LFG and TFL doing so much more and going so far beyond, taking things to whole new levels with the Bitcoin, and we'll talk about all these things. But now you're starting to see, well, we need to ride this out, because the potential is amazing and so many things are in play. And I think that that is what I would call inspiration. And I think that that's amazing to see. And it's coming from your content, Danko. So really appreciate it. But I think that that's what we all feel collectively as being part of this community.
Yeah. Look, I mean, that's what you said in the end. All this, I have a lot of people that I met on my journey, which is amazing. Like you guys, and you hear so many different things. The longer somebody is in there, the more he's coming from a trader perspective, because it makes sense, right? You couldn't do anything else besides just trading those cryptocurrencies, because that's what they were understood as in the beginning of basically a new type of money. And then when I often now talk to people that are longer in the scene than, let's say, 2020 or so, so not that young breed, like also me and Ryan on the other side, it's like they say, it will go down and everything will crash. And I said, yeah, I understand where you're coming from, because back then, basically, Bitcoin, and it's still giving the lead in terms of price, but there was no other utility. Why the heck should not somebody who saw utility in here in his lending and its yield farming, why should he just go away and say, oh, it's over now, I think bear market is coming, bye-bye. That makes right. no sense. There is so much happening right now. And I mean, I'm paying with crypto every day here. I have my Binance debit card, right? Okay. It's Binance. I know I'm waiting for Astral Money that I can also use EUT, but basically I'm moving funds over to Binance. I'm used then for now BUSD. I have my debit card and I pay with that, right? It's because I mean, I'm a crypto native now. I live from this. So that's nice. How I'm really, it's going. It works. I know it's still not as we want it, but we need to be the first one, right? To throw the stone and make it happen. So it is moving and it's cool. I mean, take a look at Formula One. That 8 of 10 teams have crypto as a sponsor. This is not going anywhere. The NBA, I mean, you're in the US. I'm a big NBA fan, right? We have the crypto.com arena in Los Angeles. We have FTX sponsoring the MLB, I think it is, right? We have now Terra having the Nationals. I mean, why should this go away and be a scam and everything is
for And us? Algorand sponsored Ultra, which was a music festival in Miami. We were just there.
Ah, cool.
Didn't it was know amazing, that. Amazing, amazing. And I was like, Algorand? No way. It flashed everywhere. And it's just an amazing thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
And right. we actually have scheduled interview tomorrow with, we're in the US, by the way. I know you're in Germany, but for all the viewers out there, TTLG, we're in the US. So for us trying to pay with UST, it's been, you know, a challenge the last year. But we actually have an interview tomorrow with I won't reveal the name, but you guys will find out with the company that's actually onboarding UST and their debit card, which should be released at any time. So we'll keep you updated on that, Dan Q. That'll be a good one to watch. But
I could say now a few names, which are very likely, but I don't want to take it away here. it sounds like this company. It's okay.
You could probably guess who it is, but we'll just kind of leave that carrot dangling. So, but yeah, what are your thoughts on LFG buying all of this Bitcoin up right now? I mean, obviously, Avalanche too.
And some Avalanche, yeah.
I know we kind of touched on that earlier, but. You know, do you think the buying is going to continue as things continue to dip here, or what's the thought?
I mean, probably yes. It's better now, right? We get more Bitcoin for less of the price. I mean, if Bitcoin works out like everybody expects long term, who cares if you buy it now for 30, 40, or 50? If it's maybe literally, if this works out, it's a number go up technology. It has to increase in price. We see that the supply right now is disappearing from the market. Then supply shock and it will go up. But I mean, as said earlier, for me, the journey went from Bitcoin and still believing also in Bitcoin, at least in terms of sound money. Is it the perfect money? Who knows? We would be fools if we said that that's the end game of money. But basically backing up as the asset that could represent true value and suck up a value representation in the whole world, right? Like now, I mean, it's crazy that it's the first time where basically a currency is accepted in the world that it's not coming from a nation state, right? And that's what we need, because we need basically this third party that says, you know, this is a value everybody agrees on. That's the free market. And you can, you know, basically make an evaluation against it. So it's so cool. And I mean, Do Kwon is just a mastermind in terms of, I mean, you guys know this. I'm a big fan of collaboration, right? I don't understand the hate always and this maxis, whatever they want. I mean, we are all in this together, and we have bigger fish to fry, I think you say in the US,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
to
right.
Now work against each other. Just everybody, let do them what you want, right? If this fails, the market will decide if something fails, right? Just try to focus on the next step. So I'm a big fan of this. Let's see where this goes. If they go for the 10 billion, the only thing is, I mean, we see the FUD that is around there. It's so complicated to understand how all of this works and what are the true implications of this, right? The Luna burn mint mechanism is already very complex, right? And it's changing the game, how money is created with the seigniorage. And it's the first decentralized central bank, which is like never seen in the world, right? If you think about it, yeah. The first time that you and me, we can all make money basically by burning an asset. And now you add their Bitcoin. Is it collateralized? Is it not? There are some people that say algo stable coins are anyway a scam and it's all a Ponzi. We know this word 1,000 times. And now they're creating there something and they're helping each other out. And I mean, let's see where this goes. I don't know what you guys think, but I'm a big fan of this. And I hope that it continues and that people wake up that, you know, it's not about us winning or them winning. It's we should all win together. It's win-win. It's not a zero-sum game.
Everybody
can win. Yeah.
Well, you can see, actually, we've shared some of the earlier videos, like when Dow was just pitching Luna, Terra and Luna, like they were 13 weeks into the launch of the Chai app. And you can see the thinking. This is 2018, early 2019. I was like, oh my God, why did I not know I would have invested? Mm-hmm. Because you see the adoption, first of all, and the thinking. And now you're seeing them get to this point. And actually, it's not just Bitcoin, the Bitcoin quote unquote backing or used as reserve for UST, but the idea of the four pool sort of global stablecoin collateralization of the entire sort of crypto market. And I think it was Rand from Crypto Banter who was speculating that the Algorand, the Avalanche purchase was so that the Avalanche people, the Avalanche ecosystem participates in the four pool. So what are your thoughts on what just somebody who's so embedded, and you talked about the criticism, but what are your thoughts on how Doe and TFL are just kind of taking this whole thing on to the next level? Like in my mind, I see just amazing, like they're leading the way of DeFi development rather than just kind of, all right, let's just stabilize UST. They're just thinking so far. What is your perspective, just from your experience with this?
Yeah, I mean, two thoughts about this. First of all, decentralization doesn't mean leaderless, right? I think people are often confused, and decentralized doesn't mean that we still need a thought leader or that people take over the role as a leader, right? It's kind of, then you're headless. And if you're headless, you don't know where to go, right? So you still need an idea out there. If your leader is an idea or a person, that's something else, right? The system should survive without the leader, but the leader can still exist and give you a direction, right? That's the point number one. And the second point is like, if people say stuff like, and sorry here, I should not talk for Mr. Doe because he has enough money, but this guy has so much money, none of us can even imagine. If this guy wants to do a rug pull, he just turns around and sells all his Luna. You know what I mean? It's like, he doesn't need to care about it. He goes to an island and nobody sees him ever again. He buys like people, you know, he buys like an island and city, whatever, right? He doesn't. Why should he now basically trying to construct, and who knows if maybe it works, maybe not, but why should he construct the biggest, you know, rug pull in the world and his name being destroyed for the eternity of life? Just to prove whatever, you know, it's like, I don't understand where people are taking this one from. I think there are a ton of people in the history, like Steve Jobs, Elon Musk recently, that just drive because money doesn't mean anything, right? If you want to go to discovery, you go for discovery. And it seems that Do Kwon, we are lucky to witness first place here that he goes in the same direction. And it's great to be able to see this. And I mean, I'm a big fanboy from every founder, specifically of Doe. If he starts talking, it's great, right? It's like, wow, yes, exactly, right? Keep on talking, keep pushing, right? That's the way. And as you said, why should now the Terra DeFi, which was called TeFi for a long time, nobody says TeFi anymore, because TeFi means that it's not about others, but a stablecoin needs to drive on other chains. So we need to drive all together.
Yeah,
so, nice. And he understands it, right? That's my take. I don't know if you guys see it differently, but yeah, that's what I think.
Yeah.
Speaking of, I guess, kind of FUD and all that with Doe talking, I know you got into it with somebody on Twitter recently, right? I know Gorgi kind of touched on that before we started talking, but who was your friend on Twitter, I guess? Well, we could say
Danko just invited this person who created a whole thread that had Doe responding over the last few days. He collected a lot of criticism of Luna buying BTC with ICO funds, USDT pegging, the burn mechanism. There were a bunch of things, the LFG or TFL holding more than the circulating supply. There were a bunch of criticisms in this thread. It's worth reading and worth reading the responses. And Danko, I think you extended an invitation for Jack to come into your channel and address some of these, but you have the platform now to also just give your perspectives on some of these issues that he has brought up here.
Yeah. So, I mean, first, Ryan, go ahead. Go ahead, Ryan.
No, yeah, I was just saying, I wish we could have reached out to Jack before the recording and got him on here to kind of dispel some of this.
I mean, maybe I hope so. It seems that the calculator guy, right? So William, who also responded to, hey, let's make the platform here to him. Then Jack responded and said, yeah, let's maybe talk. So I will talk to the calculator guy tomorrow in person because I just wanted to meet him. I think he's doing amazing work. So maybe we can get Jack on. It's like the first tweet that he was basically referring to here, if you go up again. So this one here, in this tweet thread, I was quoted several times.
That's my Bitcoin explanation thing, right?
So I was going through this one and I was reading it. I didn't like the first picture because it was already implying that it's like a system that is not working, sucking itself out. Then I went through the thread. The thread is good, I think, in general. It's just explaining what he sees, and he's not even at the end taking any kind of side, I think, right? He's just saying, take out whatever you want. Those are the informations. But he takes his first picture, which makes no sense if he says that he doesn't want to take a side, right? Because the first picture is already having a clear side. And then, so Jack seems to be one of the, let's say, very strong Ethereum. I don't want to say the term maxi because I'm not following him, but I've seen several times where he was already expressing himself not being very bullish on Luna. And I tell to the German group, right? So, I mean, I'm here in Germany. We are creating now a German Luna group. We are almost 300 on Telegram. We started with six last year, so it's growing slowly. And so basically, I'm a big FUD guy, fan, because the more FUD, the more you can explain to people how it truly works, right? So yesterday, an old friend of mine called me and I explained him what I'm doing, that I quit my job and I'm now a full-time content creator. And he said, what the heck? Send me some stuff, right? And then he Googled. First thing he finds is a German article of Jack's stuff, right? Basically saying Luna is a Ponzi. And he said, oh, you're in a Ponzi scheme. And I said, no, wait. But it's great because he was interested. He heard it. I got the chance to explain myself. And now he's researching, right? And he's watching a lot of my videos and other stuff. So I think FUD is the best because it helps you, first of all, yourself to challenge and say, because if I cannot explain now that he's wrong, he's right. So I think FUD is great. Yeah. You can always say the case, it's unfortunate that now this gets so much reach because people unfortunately get in their head always bad news better than positive news. But most of the things he says, it's poorly researched, unfortunately. But even if he thinks so, let's talk about it. I mean, I don't have any problem because if he doesn't believe in it, who cares? Not everybody believes in everything. That's my take. I don't know if you want to go into any specifically here and see if it makes sense, yes or no.
No, I don't think we need to go into any details. If any of the viewers want to kind of go down this rabbit hole they can with this Jack guy.
I agree with Danko. When I saw this and I read, I think I was familiar with the Erica Wall and some other people claiming, okay, why are you buying Bitcoin with the ICO money? Well, that money has grown into this massive Luna foundation account. Like it gives a lot of opportunity to learn more and mm-hmm. also understand more. And I take it, actually, I agree also with Danko that it's healthy to question things, not to spread FUD. So when there's inaccurate information, that's where, you know, I'm very vocal. But it's healthy to question things. It's healthy to be very transparent about things. And I find that though it can sometimes respond very sharply just because... seen that criticism over and over, and at some point you just get impatient, and that's why he was like, the only thing is on my time. At some point he's like, okay, yeah, I just waste the only bank run that happens during bear market is on my time because I have to keep dispelling FUD. So from that point of view, we actually really appreciate his leadership because he actually spends the time, even though then Jack gets all of the sort of negative,
connotations,
attention, with attention. Yeah. It's but it's still attention on Twitter, right?
Attention is attention.
Attention is attention, and that sucks. But he does do it not for him, but for us. That's how I see it. Doe actually does it for us. So there is a strong voice of authority voice that we trust, and it's actually the voice of the source. Like, for example, this thing about the wallet that he holds.
I mean, even considering it, that it's sending to Doe's private wallet. I mean, are you kidding me? That's like, this is, you know what I never understand is like, why do you spend your day attacking others? But this is just me as a person, right? So if you think you can do it better, just do it better. I mean, everybody would in the world be way better off if they focus on trying to solve something instead of trying to hate on others. And what was the whole purpose of the thread in the end? It seems just to hate on others and say how dumb we are as investors, right? It's like
And I think the sketchy stuff that he talks about, it's very interesting. I mean, if you look at Bitcoin, if you look at Ethereum, all of them started centralized. All of them started with a simple idea. And there was a process of evolution. Like there is some question further down of how when Luna started, there was this minting of 1 billion, I think was, of this SDC token. And like all of that, and you know, are we sufficiently decentralized is another example. And if you look at, well, you have to see it as something in progress, and you have to evaluate the progress rather than trying to just criticize it at every step. And what do you expect, that a decentralized system would just come into existence perfectly? And it would just be static, not never evolve. Of course, it will evolve, like the Luna UST dynamics has evolved on so many levels because to address different issues, especially as you scale. Exactly because we scale, now we've got a different approach to the Luna UST dynamics. And of course, Bitcoin coming in and being like 30, 40% of the UST market cap is extremely valuable and extremely important to that. That wouldn't have been necessary when, I don't know, the market cap was less than a billion for UST and we were very, very small. That wasn't something that you would consider. Because the volatilities are so comparable that at some point, you know, it's just, but now, so it's a function of scale. It's a function of maturity. It's a function of the community. So all of these things, I agree that it's good to bring up, but it's wrong to just say, okay, sketchy, because you're making choices along the way as the system develops.
And you give an opinion, right? If you want to even say that, I put a question mark on the decentralization, which everybody in the Terra community is aware of, that big part of the Luna funds are still with Terraform Labs. And a lot of them have addressed it, but it doesn't help now to just say, decentralize the Luna, right? Because also there would be a lot of selling pressure and evolve. So we need to talk. I mean, I would be a fool to say it's all great. It's not, but nothing is all great all the time. I think that the problem that I just have with such people is that they're very opportunistic, right? So Jose did a great interview with Bankless last week, and he said, you know, ease evolving to ease 2.0, it's not a failure of ease, it's a development. But why is it now when Terra develops into a different kind of stablecoin algorithmic, then it's a failure? Right? So pick your great side point. In terms of, you can always say it how you want, right? Is it too centralized or is it then not too centralized enough? I mean, whatever you want, you just, the only thing I'm a little bit concerned in the last days and weeks, and I have people blocked on Twitter, right? I'm open about it because there is just a term where I posted it yesterday or this morning. For me, it was, there's this great movie, The Lucky Number 11. Don't know if you guys have seen that.
Oh, yeah.
I love this. It's one of the best of all time. It has so many great quotes. And one of the quotes that the Rabbi says there is like, if somebody calls you something like a cow, what is it? Then call him an idiot. If he calls it again a cow, then punch him in the face. And if he calls it a third time, then you just run around and search for more cows, something like that. And I don't know what the English, I quoted it. It's like, then it's okay to block maybe somebody. But for example, don't know if you know Tesha Labs, and was not even aware of that. It's a big account on Twitter, like 120,000. This account like posted last week also a ton of fun about Terra, right? You can research it probably. And I commented, it's like, I don't know if this is right how you say this, but in terms like, if you think that that the value of Terra is not true, then nothing is true. Nothing has value in the world, right? Because the market decides it. And she blocked me 1 second afterwards, because yesterday somebody said, hey, read this Osmo article, it's great. And I said, I can't, I'm blocked. I don't even know why. And then somebody did the research. Just because I answered that, I got immediately blocked. It's like, this is cancel culture, I think you call it. And that's that's getting very difficult if we just now start to wanting to listen to what we want. As I said, I'm not against blocking, but it's more like, oh, difficult. And right now we're in this very weird state where everybody thinks that his cryptocurrency is the best. I don't think that. Luna has flaws. Terra has flaws. Everybody has flaws. And it's okay.
Cancel culture is a big thing right now. Just out of curiosity for the viewers, would you mind sharing, how old are you, Danku?
Oh, how old do you think I am? That's
you look like maybe 17. I would go with 17.
I say 17. Yeah. I turned 32 Saturday.
Okay.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, that's why I was at home and I couldn't say no to my mom going back. Right. That's
the cake. That's right.
That's also a big part of. I hold a bachelor and a master's degree in industrial engineering, right? I have been working 7 years on track for a senior management position in a big international company. It's not like I don't know what is happening on a big company scale, what's happening on politics side and how to drive that. It's just that I didn't decide to cover that anymore, but I see now the same patterns again that we try to repeat also in DeFi, you know, in terms of people want power. And if power is involved, the same patterns of greed and this kind of stuff is in there. Don't want to go too philosophical here. Why you ask would be interesting, Ryan.
Just curious. I'm sure there's going to be people watching that, you know, want to know, right? So,
well, yes.
Sticking with personal questions, could you share, and you know, I'm happy also to share on my end, like my professional journey, but you mentioned that you left a career to move into content, to move more engagement to Terra. Everything's going so fast. Could you share a little bit about that journey? You mentioned you have a bachelor's, you mentioned you were embedded in this industry for several years, and now you've made a change.
Yeah, I mean, so I basically started by accident a YouTube channel, right? In July or end of June when Mirror Protocol version 2 started, I did this flow chart on Twitter. Nobody was following me back then, maybe 200 people or 100. And then it went viral. And then people asked me basically because I was on Discord in the Terra Discord. And I was then talking to Chino Man back then and to something else. Those are true legends of the Terra ecosystem, even if they're not that vocal anymore. And I said, can I have like a vocal channel in there, right? And then we had a vocal channel and explaining the Mirror Protocol, the Delta Neutral strategy. And then those people said, can you not record it? Because why talking so many times to the people and explaining it? And I said, okay, So I did my first YouTube video on that strategy, right? And then people asked basically, can you do a step-by-step? I did a step-by-step video. And then people asking, can you show the numbers? Okay, I show the numbers. I have my first videos out there. And so what I did in my old company, in my last position, I was global pricing business partner for an international company. And there was, but my job was basically simplifying concepts and putting it out there to senior management or normal management or also sales to explain the stuff. I mean, you see now basically my journey of, I was anyway presenting. And what I did now with my content is just doing the same as my old job, creating slides that I like, making it as easy as possible from a conceptual perspective and presenting them. So I kept on because I had fun with YouTube. And then I was very happy and thankful. And also thanks for your feedback, guys, in terms of people seem to like it, right? Yeah. I basically explained what I learned myself out there. And yeah, it grows so much that I then said, maybe I can do this full time. But I myself, I'm a YouTube sicko, right? I spend a lot of time and I'm a premium user subscriber. I hate ads and I hate paid content because how can we want to have this basically shared, but then we close it, right? Like in Patreon groups and this. So nothing against it. It's a personal, but I wanted to say, you know, I'll try to make this free because I want that people understand it and join our journey. Then I asked myself, okay, what do I need to do then? Then I need an income because I still need to eat, unfortunately, right? JPEG doesn't help me in eating. So I thought about, are there other concepts where I can use Web3 to make an income and make it free? And then I came up now with running a validator, which I'm thankful for everybody who supports and delegates to now be in there, because that's a great passive income that gives me the freedom to create more and more content. And there's other stuff. I'm now, I mean, I haven't put my sign down, but there is the first Web3 fund ETF basically in Austria officially, the stock market over there that is traded. And they asked me if I can support them from an expert role, right? And giving insights, basically what I'm sharing on YouTube, but in German. And I said, yes, because I wanted the German speaking countries come into this, right? So there I have another income stream, you know, I have the validator income stream. And so I'm very lucky in this position to now be able to make this sustainable. And now let's get it out there.
That's amazing. The message. Amazing, amazing. Good for you. And yeah, your content's been amazing. We're all learning together. And I didn't see the zero strategy, the Delta Zero neutral strategy video, but I saw everything else since. And so that's amazing. And what a great journey. And very excited to actually have people like you in the community, because it just brings the positive, creative energy exactly where it needs to be. And also, I mean, with the European German speaking community, you know, actually being able to communicate that in other languages, to other cultures, to other communities, it's amazing.
Yeah.
And
so really appreciate
it. And that. I know with your validator, you're obviously on Terra Station, but specifically it's a lot easier to find you on Stater, right? Stater Labs.
So we are on Stake Plus on Stater Labs. We are not yet in the community pool because you need to approve, I think, 3 months of running on highest standards. We are now, I think, 2.5 months old. So the moment we hit the 3 months, we go there. We are very thankful that Stater immediately puts us in Stake Plus and trusted us there to be as a community validator. I want to enter, if possible, Prism in the future, right? That's on our roadmap. We are now running on EVMOS, another validator. We are running on Osmosis, but we're not in the set. So if somebody has 100K Osmo, happy to take them to come in the set. We are thinking of also going to Cosmos. Shout out to the Dyke guys that are supporting me. They are the technical. I have no technical knowledge. I'm honest about it. So I teamed up with another team. And yeah, we are on Stata if somebody wants to go there. We had a whale or two whales like delegating on Friday, 50,000 Luna, which helped us a ton. So big thank you again. If they see it, one mysterious one who then said who he was, Sam I Am is his name on Twitter. And that's just so much money. I'm an immigrant, right? Immigrant family, Spanish background. We came to Germany in the 70s because of labor and we had never assets, right? I'm basically the first one ever having in the family any assets at all. And of course, now very interesting assets on top, right? That of course are now having an interesting financial value. And that's maybe why I'm coming from, why I don't literally care for myself so much, right? I we come from a family, we don't have anything. Everything that I have now is more than before. That's why I'm happy if others can also witness this, which I think is cool. Very philosophical, sorry.
No, it's really important because a lot of people will come for the price action. And it's amazing to have voices that explain and express motivations beyond that, that show, okay, I'm invested in this because I see it as part of my life journey, as part of aligning with your life philosophy and the generosity. We absolutely need that kind of energy. We are still very early, I don't know, 3 million, 4 million profiles, 5 million. We need to get to 10, 20 million Terra profiles. We need to grow the community until it gets to escape velocity, like I would say maybe Bitcoin and Ethereum have reached that. In terms of the network effects just help it grow by itself. I forget, 46 million Americans have Bitcoin or something or some type of crypto, and I forget, but it's in the tens of millions, which at that point you have. Now everybody knows Bitcoin, the biggest brand, no leader, no marketing. So we need that for Luna and for Terra. And that kind of generosity and giving back, we've been talking to Danko, actually want to say, tell to the audience about, we've been considering for a long time running a validator ourselves as a way of giving back, not as a way of passive income necessarily, as a way of giving back. We spun up our full node. We are considering and trying to assess running what kind of node to run, because we want to support the decentralization of Terra. We want to give back. And I think creating content is one way, bringing awareness to the community is another way, bringing this kind of engagement, hopefully also getting a little bit more engaged with the Miami Lunatics. there will be one of our team members will be there permanently soon, so we will work on that. But that's the kind of spirit and energy we all need, in addition to the FUD, which helps us learn and grow. But I think that's what we need. So it's not just looking at the price day to day. We all pay attention to price. We all pay attention to fundamentals. But there is also a community spirit here. And it's amazing. I agree with Danko when you say, like, okay, why are we criticizing each other? DeFi is still in infant stage compared to market cap, compared to TradFi. We shouldn't be competing against each other. We should be competing with traditional finance for expanding. There's space for Ethereum. There's place for Solana, for Avalanche, for Luna, for even Dogecoin. And whoever wants to support meme coins, fine. You know, I actually support, if you want to put your money towards that, if this is meaningful to you, NFTs, whatever you like, absolutely. But not criticizing or rather criticizing, actually, it's okay, it's healthy, but not
attacking
and taking away, spending energy, taking away from each other. We're not fighting for the same market cap as the Dogecoin investors, right? We don't want to take away from that market cap. Maybe we all collectively want to, Bitcoin wants to take away from the silver and gold market cap, but we are fighting to take away from the TradFi derivatives, all of those, from that market cap. And from that point of view, we are all sort of brothers in arms in a way, with all the other DeFi projects.
Mm-hmm. And that's specifically why we like to bring guests like yourself on, Danko. You know, we want to reach out to people that may be looking for other opportunities within crypto, and share other kind of celebrities of the Terra community's journey. And you know, I mean,
not me, sir. You know,
celebrity, you know, I mean, maybe that's a little generous, but hey, come on, you're on your way, that's for sure.
No, it's just what a great response when you come on Twitter Spaces and content that you have, even your constructive language on Twitter. The community responds to that in such a positive way. So definitely big thank you, Danko, for that. And I think we can go around the table and just, like, I would like, for the benefit of the audience, update on the investment strategy, right? We all know, okay, buy more Luna, buy more Luna. But I have made some adjustments to mine personally. I'll start to volunteer to just, I moved away from using a lot of Borrow on Anchor. I deployed a lot of UST as Luna starts dipping. My plan is I buy more Luna, I DCA into Luna, but then I actually deploy it into the Luna UST pair on Astro. I think that that is a good idea. So I'm betting on volume rather than keeping a lot of UST in Anchor Earn. So or using just to borrow against Luna and put it in Anchor Earn sort of more passively. Yeah. That's one thing. And I am actually also actively DCAing, apart from Luna, into Bitcoin. And I stopped doing that for a while because of moving in and out of LPs. I didn't feel like I had the steady capital that I could sort of project putting into Bitcoin, where I see this as like a 5-10 year long investment minimum, maybe for life. But now perspectives have changed and I have the ability of doing that. So that's my investment strategy right now. I have a couple of LP positions, but all my DCA into Luna is actually going into a Luna UST pair.
Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, I mean, I'm super open about this. I mean, I can share also what I'm doing right now and what I'm also recommending my friends and family when they ask, how should I start with this? I mean, first of all, I think in the last days, maybe even I have been wrongly coded with this second wallet strategy, which Luna Omix used to completely go bonkers, which I also covered on my channel that you can use the second wallet just to also play around what max leverage means, right? Because now with 80% LTV, you can go to even over 3x on Anchor, right? Which is just a leverage long position. I myself, I basically have never leveraged. Maybe 5% of my whole Luna holdings are leveraged. Why? Because I found Bitcoin as the solution of fixing TradFi, and the biggest problem of TradFi is to be over leveraged into fiat money, which is not real. You know, it's like I came over to not have leverage, to now have real value behind this. Why should I? So that's why I'm using those assets, but I'm not doing this. So my second voice strategy for myself is I'm getting now paid in Luna as a validator. Should I sell it? No, I borrow against it. If I get liquidated, I don't care. I should have sold it anyway to get the funds because that's my true money. So that's how I see leverage. So not to, I borrow, I don't leverage, I just borrow against it. And if it's gone, it's gone, right?
It's soft leverage, I did leverage trading for a while and with volatile assets, I mean, it's no way to, you're not investing, you're just gambling.
But there are people that are professionals out there that know what they do. Hopefully, let them do whatever they want. I myself, I'm still DCAing into Bitcoin. I'm still buying every month or multiple times a month. I'm every 2 weeks into Luna, into Rune, right? Those are my three biggest holdings. Osmosis, I don't DCA in because I'm just farming the heck out of that thing for months now since it was 300% APR single side staking. Big fan of what they are doing. I have been buying the last months also in a DCA strategy, Avalanche and Phantom. And all of those things, I never sell anything what I buy in this. I'm doing a lot of other degen stuff and I'm holding and I'm farming a lot because why should I buy something that I can farm? It's just like opportunity cost. I need to invest. So like Astroport, big position, Mars, big position, everything via lock drop, never bought something, holding a ton, farming it, great. Well, I don't bother if it goes up to 4 or down to 50 cent. I basically have it for zero still, right? Whatever happens there. So, and I see my brother because he has no clue what I'm doing here. He asked me, what should I do? I said, there is a lock drop. Do you have $500? Throw it in there. Great. He has Prism, he has Mars, he has Astro, he has Kinetic. He is probably the most successful investor of all time because he's just getting back his money over the lock drop and holding the other tokens and staking
brilliant,
it.
Brilliant.
So I myself, I'm not holding AUST at the Anchor side because I don't want to put more pressure on Anchor. I think it's for the retailer as reach for UST. Everybody can do what they want. That's why I'm literally not holding this. And to my friends and family, they always ask, so what should I buy? Is it okay to just invest $10,000 into Bitcoin? I said, people don't even know the basic financial investment of DCAing, right? Even the word DCA is not even much known in Germany. So if they ask me, I usually tell them, how much do you have? So and so much money. We break it down into 12 months. This is what you want to invest. Do you want to do it once a month or twice a month? Because that's how I do it. Which assets do you want to go? break it down. Bitcoin is always in there. Luna is always in there. I would recommend nowadays Rune, that's my own asset, and then buying that. Actually, and then I'm having all the...
Please finish.
And I mean, I'm as a multi-chain degen, I'm having a ton of just UST or basically stable coins, because not on other, on all chains you can have. When I test out a ton of stuff, because if you don't invest, for me, you never understand it, right? I'm on Tomb, right? So on Phantom, I'm doing the whole Signorage piece, what they're doing. I'm on DeFi Kingdoms, right? I'm a big gamer. I mean, you don't see it, right? It's like my mouse pad here, because I was on the Avalanche conference and they have their sub chain on Avalanche.
Yeah,
I'm everywhere.
Yeah,
but I don't see this as my long-term holdings, right? I clearly have my L1s. This is what I see as my value, as my assets. I'll never give them away. The Bitcoin and Luna is with me. It's gone. Nobody will get them.
Quick question, just to follow up. Do you think that your engagement, involvement with the community, and exposure to the project very early, like you get to learn, so you can create a content, you get to learn a lot, even as they're refining some of their tokenomics, the Prism guys or Mars guys, you were creating the videos, holding back just to hear the final touches that they're putting to their tokenomics.
Yeah.
Did that shape your, for example, motivate your, shape your decision to go and say lock drop or like put money into the project?
I don't know, but in general.
Yeah, in general.
No, I don't know if I answer this correctly, what you're expecting, but I always tell the founders, I'm the biggest fanboy you can find on there, and that I'm able now to talk to you and talk about it. I mean, it's like talking to my friends. If, hey, have you, like, as a child, do you see that Ronaldo just scored a goal? Yeah, now I can talk to himself and ask him what his strategy will be tomorrow. And I just talk about it. You know, it's like, it's basically, I'm a big fan of what they're doing. I have big appreciation for devs and for the people that are thinking about this. I know number go down, devs do something. But if those guys wouldn't do, we wouldn't have nothing even to make money on, right? It's like, it's so easy to say, oh, this was a bad decision. And, you know, and this tokenomics is shit. And of course it goes down in price. It's like the amount of work that goes in there, and they don't want to screw up on purpose. Like when Mars screwed up kind of because it went all down because of the pressure on the nodes, right? This kind of, when it's not like they did it on purpose. They had the developers in Delphi didn't have access to the tokens. So they just had over the lock drop. Do you think that they want the fact that people are mad? No, they don't want this.
Yeah,
do they screw up? Yeah, everybody screws up. I measure people in the how they react to it and how they are able to manage it. In terms, I mean, those people put a year in there and you have nothing else to do than to go on Twitter and say those are assholes. And sorry, can I say this here? I don't know.
Yes, you can.
I don't understand this. So it's like so much work that they put in there. You guys are creating content. You know how much thought you put in there, right? You create a background. It looks like an easy background. You put thought in there, right? And you test out and you put hours in there. And then the first guy comments like, I don't like this. Yeah, thank you.
Well, credit to Joseph for the background. thank you.
Yeah, but
that's great perspective, yeah.
Yeah, Ryan, yeah as far as my investment strategy, I have some Luna staked. I have bunch of cash on the sidelines, and I have some Mars too. I think Mars is a great project. We didn't really get into that, so unfortunately maybe we'll have to do a follow-up and get some insight on Mars, but I just want to give a big shout out to Dan Koo. Thanks for coming on the show today, man. Check him out on Twitter. It's at @DanKoo_R, right?
Yes, that's where everybody can find me. On YouTube, Twitter, Telegram, Discord, everywhere the same. So
right, you can find me. I'm sure all you got to type in is Dan Koo and there you'll be front page, right?
yeah. So any final closing thoughts, Dan Koo? Stage is yours.
No, thank you, right? It's cool that you give me the chance. Usually I'm on the other side asking questions and it's cool to just talk about it. And a great pleasure also to meet you guys. Because that's what this is all about. DeFi is the most human thing I've ever seen in my life, right? It's more about people than anything else. That's why there's drama on Twitter, because it's all about people all the time, right? It's like a big game.
And quick question. You're not going to be at the Terra D App Expo in Austin.
Sure I am.
Oh, are you? Okay.
Yeah, all right. I was yesterday looking for flights. I'm not decided if I should go like normal class or business class. I heard that such long flights is not good to go into the normal stuff, right? But it's so cheap right now. It's like just $600 for both ways.
Oh, wow. Okay. That is very cheap.
And it's a 14 hours flight. I mean, so 2 hours stop in Atlanta, I think, for me. So if you're there, I'll see you there. I'll go unless the US says you're not coming in here.
So
no,
yeah, you're coming. We will be there for sure. So we'll definitely do a follow up and we'll be able to link up for sure. So nice. we'll catch up with you there. But yeah, thanks for tuning in today, guys. We appreciate everybody listening on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and watching us here on YouTube. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you guys on the next episode. And Dan Koo, thank you again.
Thanks,
thank you, guys. Bye.
All right, guys.